Good to see everybody. I'm fixing to do, inspired by Brett's sermon week before last, I'm going to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. I love it. I mean, I used to read the Sermon on the Mount, like, every time I was felt down, I'd read it. It's just like, I love it so much. And of course, you know, it was like this first kind of actual sermon preached by Jesus. The other big piece that he preached is in from John 13 to 17, which is also a big, you know, big piece. But I'm going to preach through that after Sermon on the Mount. But I love both those sermons. Not positive that the 13 through 17 was a sermon. They were sitting in the upper room. It was a talk, maybe, with his disciples before he went to the cross. but I needed to set it up with a conversation so that you'll know what we're getting into when we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to tell you a story that starts in Genesis, and I'm going to end the story in 1 John. It actually goes to the Revelation, and I will make allusions to it, but it really is a whole Bible story. And to understand what's happening in the Sermon on the Mount, you have to understand this whole Bible story. Because you won't get things that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. See, Jesus says some things in the Sermon on the Mount that are flat scary. In the Lord's Prayer, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he says, and by the way, if you don't forgive people, I'm not going to forgive you. He goes and says, I mean, he says these things. It's like, you know, if people won't reconcile, treat them as unbelievers. And, you know, and so there's scary things that Jesus says. And if you don't get the kind of big picture thing and see what Jesus is saying, actually, you'll miss what's happening in the Sermon on the Mount. And so this little title that we have tonight is called Haters Gonna Hate and Christians Ain't. I sometimes come up with them and they're really overwhelmingly good. And so I want to show you a story. I want to show you a story that literally helps you understand a whole bunch of the whole Bible. And if you've never pieced this together, when you see it, you're going to go, oh, wow, this is a big deal. So in the Bible, there's always two groups of people. There's God's people, God's chosen race, his holy people, using Peter language there. And so we knew them, the shadow people, if you will, as Israelites in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they're the people of God, grafted in the Gentiles and all that whole deal. But there's God's people and there's people that ain't God's people. And that whole thing started actually in Genesis. The whole God's people, well, I mean, it started before the foundation of the world, but, you know, I mean, it came to being, if you will, in Genesis. And so I want to piece some things together for you. And I'm not going to try to like go into the details of this. I'm really just going to throw a big picture blanket, because when you'll see this thing working out, as a matter of fact, if you read the epistles that Paul writes, if you'll read a bunch of stuff, you're going to see a lot of things you never saw just because you see this. And so so if you remember the Adam and Eve are in the garden, everything's perfect. The world, to use Jimmy's word, is in perfect equipoise. God and nature and man are, everything's aligned. They don't even know the difference between good and evil and don't need to. Communion with God is unfettered and, you know, it's like everything's perfect. And then, of course, you know, this little snake shows up in the garden and he messes everything up. So Adam and Eve fall, and they're driven out of the garden. So for the first time in, you know, I mean, so God says man is now not in a place where they get to have this sweet fellowship. Now that things are broken, they're broken between God and man. and they're broken between man and creation and the whole thing. And so I want you to listen to the curse that God gives the devil after the fall. And you're going to see what I'm talking about. This thing lasts all the way out through the Bible. So Genesis 3:15 goes like this. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals, and you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And then here's the key piece. Here's the key piece is the next verse. And I will put, so now I want you to make sure you know who put the enmity there. Who put the enmity? God, okay? So God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, so between the serpent and the woman, and between your offspring, so the serpent's going to have offspring, and her offspring. And some translations will say between the seed of the, between your seed and her seed. Now who's, okay, now I just want you to look up, and I just want you to, I want to make sure you know what this is talking about. So who is the seed of the serpent throughout all the Bible? No, who is Satan's seed? Who's his offspring? That's right, unbelievers throughout the whole Bible. Jesus, you know, when Jesus is talking about when they're rejecting him and they tell him, we're Abraham's seed. He goes, you ain't Abraham's seed. You are of your father, the devil. Right? So there's two seeds all the way through the Bible. Right here's where it started. There's going to be the seed of the woman. And who is the seed of the woman? Jesus himself, and then all of his people, all of the people that are in him, right? So believers are the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent are all the unbelievers, if you want to think about it that way, right? So God said he's going to, there's, now remember, it's just Adam and Eve, and no children have been born yet. When this enmity is put here as a curse, okay? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Okay, so just set that up. And all throughout the Bible, there's only two groups of people. In Proverbs, you're going to see the fool and you're going to see the wise man. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. It doesn't matter where you look, you're always going to see it. In the Sermon on the Mount, and why this is important to the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is only talking about kingdom people. He's only talking about and to the seed of the woman. He's only talking about the offspring, his people. This is how you're supposed to act, period. This is who you are, period, right? And so that's why you're blessed, because all of God's people are mourn and they're humble in spirit and all meek and all the different things. All God's people are that way. And so you think about this. If you look at the epistles where it says, and he gives a laundry list. And so those of you who are this and this and this and this, you will not enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean? They're the seed of who? That's right, seed of the devil, seed of the serpent, right? And so they're not going to enter the kingdom of God, and that's the reason why. And their behavior is a testimony, if you will, to the reality of who they are. Here's who you are, therefore here's how you act. And everything in this list that you'll see in this list includes certain things, but I'm going to show you a particular thing that it shows, and I'm going to and for me, this is the money. Okay, so the next story is the story of the first two boys ever born. Let's read it. Now Abel kept his flocks, and Cain worked in the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look on with favor. I want you to see the two things that he looked on. He looked on with favor on the person Abel and what Abel brought. And He didn't look on favor on the person Cain, nor the thing that he brought. Okay? And so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And so the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So here God, okay, so what is God saying to him? Listen, you were created in the image of God. You know what to do that's right here. Right? Okay, and so let's see how that worked out. Y'all already know, but I'm just reading the story. And so then the Lord said to Cain, now Cain said to his brother, "Well, let's go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And so the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "Well, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." And listen what he says. He says, "Now, not before, not about the offering, now you're what? You're under a curse and you're driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it's no longer going to yield its crops for you, for you will be a restless wanderer on the earth." So now what's going on here? First two brothers in the whole wide world, and one kills the other one. So I'm just telling you, how many of y'all have a brother? Raise your hand. Have you killed him? We've improved a bit. Because the first two killed each other. It started off bad, right? I mean, it started off with murder. The whole thing did, right? But you're going to see, remember, God never leaves these things open. They always have this kind of long version testimonies, if you will. So I want you to see something. In Hebrews, when Hebrews is looking back on this story, this is what God says about the offering and about what happened with it. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous." God commended him. Here's how God commended him, or the testimony that God commended him was that he accepted his gift. "And through his faith..." So his gift was offered in faith, and God accepted it. "Though he died, yet he speaks." Okay, so we see that as about the offering, that God accepted Abel and his offering because his offering was offered in faith. Now, there's a lot of debate about this. If you want to go back into commentaries, you can look all around about the deal. You know, it's like, Abel offered, something that had blood and all this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And so that was why it was a perfect sacrifice. I don't think so. By the way, this is just me, and there's commentators that think the way I do. I don't think so because of the big picture. Now, but let me just tell you why I don't think so. I think that if you look in the law, what did God tell the farmers to offer? First fruits, right? So if you were a farmer, you were supposed to offer your grain. That's all Abel did. And if you were a shepherd, you were supposed to offer what? First fruit. Same, right? You were supposed to offer your firstborn lamb, right? And so it seems to me that it wasn't the offering that was the problem. It seems to me that what Hebrews says, that it was the heart of the one who offered it in faith, and the other one who just offered it. And there's no critique on Cain in that particular deal. The critique on Cain comes later when we get to John the Beloved in 1 John. Listen to this. 1 John 3. Now, 1 John, let me just say this before you flip to 1 John 3. Back out of it, because I want to set it up, and I don't want people reading ahead because they're going to cheat and all that stuff. Okay. So here's the deal. First John has been a book that has marveled me. What's the theme of First John, big picture? Yep, that's it. That's it. He don't say nothing else, does he? I mean, honestly, he starts at the first and goes to the end. He goes, look, this is it. You know, Jesus' people are love people, period, dot. So, but he does something here that's really helpful if we can see it. Let's see it together. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Who the seed of the woman are and who the seed of the serpent are. This is how we know. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not God's child, nor is anyone, in other words, the nor here is not, it's making a connection between the practice of righteousness. Right, there's a distinction. I'll tell you the distinction in a second, but the practice is what he's saying. Nor is anyone who doesn't love their brother and sister. So let me just unpack that right quick. Here's what he's saying. Here's how you know the seed of the woman, and here's how you know the seed of the serpent. Here's how you know God's people, and here's how you know lost people. And this is it. God's people practice righteousness. That is, God's people know that the righteousness of Jesus has been imputed to them by grace. And through faith, they respond to that righteousness, and the response is love. The response is love. So, I mean, and that shouldn't shock anybody, right? What's the two great commandments? Yeah, I mean, so it shouldn't shock anybody that the whole thing's about love, right? I mean, and somebody has said all of the Ten Commandments or all of the whole of the law, the moral law, is summed up, well, who was the somebody that said it? Jesus, right? All of it hung on these two commandments. All of it was summed up by these two commandments, is how Paul said it, right? And it is to love God and love your neighbor. And so what happens is that God says, and so let me just tell you what happens. For those who my righteousness has been imputed to by faith, by grace, and through faith they have laid hold of the righteousness that was imputed to them by grace, here's what the testimony will be. They will love, period. They will love. That's it. So, I just decided I'm going to tell a great story, and I hope I don't get in trouble. Okay, so here's the deal. And then he says this, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You got that one? Put that one on the screen. No, next one. Oh, you put that at the bottom of that. Okay, that's fine. The next verse says this. Listen. Do not be like Cain. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who what? Read it to me. Ah. Why did God not accept Cain nor his sacrifice? Why didn't he? He belonged to the evil one, and he never accepts the person who belongs to the evil one, nor their sacrifice, nor anything that comes from their hands. And what was the testimony that he was from the evil one? He what? Murdered his brother. This is how you know the children of God and the children of the devil. This is how you know kingdom citizens and people who are outside the kingdom. And okay, now let me contextualize for a second. Oh, no, I'm going to go ahead and read this, but I just want to start preaching right now. Okay, listen. Okay. Don't be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Now listen to this. How many times did Jesus say that in his ministry? He said, didn't he say it over and over again? Why? And he actually told them that the world definitely would hate them. Peter said the same thing, right? The world hates you. Why does the world hate you? Because they're of the seed of the serpent. And what does the seed of the serpent do to the seed of the woman? They hate them. There's an enmity between them. God put it there, right in the fall. There's an enmity. There's a hatred between the people of God and the people of the world. You can't do nothing about it. Jesus said, why would you be surprised if, my brothers and sister, if the world hates you? Cain hated Abel because he was of the seed of the serpent. And he killed him. And by the way, Jesus said over and over, they're going to kill you. They're not going to treat you right. What's interesting is that us people that so want to be loved by the world, I just want to fit in, you know, I mean, you know, I know God's kingdom, it's like all about this and holiness and all this wonderful stuff, but man, I mean, y'all are chill if y'all do all that stuff, it's fine. Definitely not fine. And it doesn't matter because your kingdom people and your heart and your mind don't want to do that, and you have to stand against that. And when you do stand against that, the world's going to hate you because they're not of the seed of the woman. They're not God's people. They're Satan's people. They are of their father, the devil. And this is what John's saying here. John's saying, now listen to what he says next. We know. That is us, the people who have been by grace, had the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and have received that righteousness. We know that we have passed from death to life because why? We love each other. We love each other. And anyone who does not love remains in what? And anybody who hates a brother or sister is a what? Like Cain. Amen? Because remember, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount that you're fixing to read say, it's not just murder, guys. It's what? Even if you're angry, right? I mean, this constant, I'm not talking about just in your anger, don't sin. You know, I'm not talking about any time you're angry. Oh, if I've ever been angry, I'm sorry. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is that the angry saint won't persist in his anger. The angry saint wants to be resolved. Okay, so anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has what? Why? They're not of the seed of the woman, right? Okay, so now let me tell you something. So I had this one couple come to me one time, and they were going through literal hell, and the dude in the relationship had definitely earned a divorce. And the wife in the relationship was granting him one with joy. And so, and he had definitely earned it. And so she comes up to me one day, and she, like, I've almost been hit by males, but this is the first time I've almost been hit by a woman. And she comes in and she's got fire in her eyes, man. She goes, can you believe the nerve of this guy? He thinks I'm going to take him back. And I just, like, without even taking a breath, said, well, that's just because he's a Christian. And I honestly thought I was fixing to get clubbed. And guess what God did? He healed him. You know why? She was too. That's it. That's how it works. That's how it works. I promise you that those who persist, you're going to see this in the Sermon on the Mount. If you don't want to hear scary teaching, don't listen to Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, I promise you. I promise you, you're going to begin to understand this. You think about all of the times that those laundry lists of people who aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God, every single list, you go look them all up. I can actually literally bring a list for you, and we'll put it up on the screen, and you can see them all. The longer list of the people who aren't going to get into the kingdom of God, every single one of them has angry people, murderers, hateful, bitter. All that stuff is always in every single list of the people that aren't going to enter the kingdom of God. You know why? God's people love each other. It is how we know that we belong to God. God's people love. That's it. You can't, I mean, John says it's 100 different ways. Just go read 1 John. My beloved father-in-law, deceased a couple years now, he used to, when he would disciple a new believer, he had them read 1 John every day for 30 days. It's only five chapters. He just said, read it, because he just said, look, whole thing's about love. And he just wanted them to read about it. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, guess what you're doing? You're loving. If you're not walking in the light, guess what you're not? You're a hater. You know what I mean? And haters gonna hate, but Christians ain't. That's just a fact. That's a fact. So here's the deal. If you're ticked at me and you're a believer, I know you're not going to be. Let me tell you something this about this. If you're ticked at me and you're a believer, I know that you long to be reconciled with me. And I long to be reconciled with you. Now, we may be awkward and bad at it, but we want to be back together. Why? It's literally the testimony of God's people. If you look in the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament, the curse was to get kicked out of the camp. The blessing was to be accepted back into the camp. Do you know what forgiveness was in the Old Testament? Being accepted back into the camp after you'd done something to get kicked out of the camp. Forget, what does God say? I'm a reconciler. I am the Prince of Peace. I have a gospel of peace. Peace, what does that mean? Putting people back together. Right? And so this is the desire. The desire of every believer's hearts to be connected with one another. And I tell you this, if you're one of these people who holds on to bitterness for a long time, and there's no desire for reconciliation in your heart, you better believe the gospel. Because God has reconciled himself to his people. And God has put away all the enmity between himself and anyone else. And by the way, nobody deserved the divorce more than him. But he's put it away so that we can be one with him. And that, by the way, that little seed is the testimony in the heart of God's people. They want to be together. They want to be together. They want to be reconciled. They hate it when they're away from each other and estranged from each other by bitterness or whatever. And so, there you go. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. That seed that God set back between the enemy and the thing, and that is the people that love each other are the children of God, and the haters are not. Now, one more context. Band, come up. I'm getting long, but let me just tell you one more context. One more context. If there was one word that you would describe the division in our country right now, what would you call it? Haters, hating. I mean, our country is divided in every way you can possibly think about it. Every way. Everything. Everything's hating. Let me tell you the sad part. So is the church. So is the church. People sitting on one side of the room, the other side. Nobody knowing how to deal with sin. Nobody knowing how to reconcile. Nobody knowing how to make up. I mean, we're in trouble, I think. But I'll tell you one thing. This is what I do. Brett does this. Anybody who's ever tried to help somebody reconcile, this is what you work with. You work with a truth that you know to be true, even if that person's not experiencing it. Right? And guess what? God's people love each other. And God's people want to be reconciled. And they're going to be. And by the way, if you don't, Lord, I love you. And I thank you that you have made love the thing that you've hunkered down on. You've made it your story. You've made it your people's story. You've made it the discriminator between your people. This is how they will know that you're my people, that they love one another. You've just made it the thing. And all the way from the beginning, you allowed to flesh out and demonstrate who the seed of the serpent, those people were, and who the people that were your people were. And that is that they would kill their brothers. And I pray, Lord, that you would arrest our hearts and make us be people that love and that do it on purpose and that walk towards each other and that throw the barriers down and finally come back together for your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.